Now, back to Open Forum on 1160 WOBM AM.
And also streaming on the web at WOBMAM.com. Good evening, everybody. Tom Mongeli. A couple of things before we go on here. Number one, if you've got a smart device, you know, you can actually get this program and anything else on these airwaves just by downloading that RadioPup app. It's astonishing. It gives you the entire town square national chain right in the palm of your hand. And if you take a tour of that, you're going to find out some interesting things. And this is a self-serving news plug, but if you text news to 89,000, we'll give you updates all the time of the most important things that are going on right to your phone. One more thing, and I don't want to miss this because I always wind up missing this, but the Lakewood Blue Claws are on the air in 2 days. It's baseball season. Oh, boy, it's about time. They're going to be on the road against the Greenville Drive. It's going to be 7:05 on Thursday right here on 1160 and 1310. And with that, we welcome in the mayor of Jackson, Michael Rena, who has really seen some incredible twists and turns financially and personally since taking the office. Welcome in, and thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me, Tom. I appreciate the invitation.
I just have to start with a general observation, and it's not limited, and I'm sure it's not limited to Jackson, but what is it about the office of the mayor that immediately turns an average guy into a lightning rod for criticism? I mean, it's not the only place it happens. There are some mayors who are exceptions to that rule. There are some who, by their pedigree and their heritage and the amount of time that they've been in public service, kind of get past it. And there are others who, they could be in public service their whole lives. They're going to get it anyway. What is it that drives that?
Well, for the longest time, I've noticed that people need a place to vent. And why not go to the person in charge? And as mayor of any municipality, town, you know, even a large city, people want to know they got the message to where it needs to go. And we accept that. You know, we have a mayor's hotline now. We have Meet the Mayor last Monday of every month. I want to engage the public. I need to know what's going on. They are the true pulse of the community. So naturally, if they have a problem, be it with snow removal or they're not happy with some of the services, they want to go to the person in charge. And naturally, sometimes they're that upset and you're going to get that. The rest is pure politics, which naturally it's part of the game, and that's something you learn to live with as you go.
Now, I remember when you started Meet the Mayor, and I'm curious as to who shows up, what they're asking you, and how does that help you form policy for where you're going?
Well, what it is it started out with, you know, people would come into the room expecting a council-type forum with so many people and microphones and everything. And what I decided to do is I tried to make it like a dining room table. You know, we set up that whole room in a round table type atmosphere where I'm not going to sit up at a podium and look down at anyone, and I'm going to be sitting right there with you, and I'm going to ask you, hi, how you doing? Introduce yourself. You know, anything on your mind? What would you like to speak about? And it just warms the room in such a way that every Meet the Mayor we've had has been one that I've learned, and we were able to inform the public rather than go on a website. Hear it straight from where you need to hear it. And for the majority of the meetings, if not all of them, have been extremely civil. The questions are anything from, you know, what are we doing with Gypsy Morts to, you know, how, you know, are we prepared for snow? You know, my leaves weren't picked up. Recycling went to twice a month instead of, you know, weekly. And we're able to engage in such a way that nobody feels intimidated. Nobody thinks there's going to be, you know, if they ask a question that may not be what they think is proper or appropriate, there's no retribution. I'm learning at every single one of these meetings. So I look forward to them. You know, we go there, we just, you know, similar to what, you know, the governor's doing, only, you know, much more lower key. And you're meeting people face to face. You're able to look into their eyes. They, you know, an expression and the way somebody says something is so much different than an email or a voicemail message. And I think we're gaining a lot. I'm learning more now than I did when I first came in, naturally, by having that interaction.
The it's brought you into different areas that that keep you close to the ground. One of the things that you're doing now that really hasn't gotten that high a level of exposure, but probably should, is just a little program you developed to bring volunteers together to welcome back veterans. And I can't imagine how great that looks to a guy who is just, or a woman who has just come back from one of the hardest things to do. Generally, they come back and nobody's there.
Well, it all started with a phone call I received three and a half years ago, asking me if I can have a police car escort some wounded warriors to Central Jersey Rifle and Pistol Club. And they do deserve that credit. That's why I mentioned them. They did a Wounded Warrior event. And I said, heck, Jackson Township's going to give them a parade. And it started with a parade. Then one of the local fire companies called me up shortly after that and said, Mayor, we have a soldier coming home, Marine coming home. We want to welcome him. And I said, I think that's a great idea. And I showed up. And we started from there. It just morphed. Now we have, right on our website, if you know of anybody, there's a form, you fill it out. And we're going to arrange as best we can with volunteer firemen, police officers, first aid, residents, waving flags, shaking their hand, blowing horns, sirens, flags, welcoming home each and every one of these heroes personally. And I've been to every single one. Thank God I haven't missed a single one. And we encourage other towns to do the same. It's the least we can do. And these men and women who've gone into harm's way on our account give all they had every single day of their lives that they've sacrificed and given us what we have. What better way to say thank you is walk right up to them and just shake their hand. My Facebook posts are always, you know, thank a vet, smile, walk over there. I mean, I can't tell you what I would do. I'll do anything I can for them. And I appreciate you bringing that up. Thank you.
No. I mean, I've known it's been going on, and I've heard feedback about it. So I think everybody's
It's great. It's great. Next thing we got to do is we start lining people up to welcome them home when they land at airports, especially with our Joint Base McGuire-Dix-Lakehurst.
Sure.
That'll be my next project.
We're speaking with Jackson Mayor Michael Arena, and one of the things that I really wanted to discuss with you was the township budget and what it has been to bring it to where it is. Now, you've got one on the table now. It's ready for adoption. Tell us what we can expect. The last time around, we had some rough going. We had some layoffs. We had some furloughs. We had some span of four-day-a-week operation at City Hall. What happens this time?
Well, challenging would probably be the most appropriate word to use. The economy is spiraling, and nobody knows where it's going to go. I mean, one week we're looking at a 13,000-point market. The next week we're looking at drops in that, fuel costs. The point of the matter is we found ourselves in much better shape this year because of some critical moves we had to make and naturally working with the unions. We also have a great group of volunteers, which is the Citizens Budget Advisory Committee, the council. I give kudos to the council. They've worked with me. They've taken time out to review what I gave them. You know, they moved some numbers around themselves that they felt they were going to be comfortable with. It's not an easy task. I presented the budget 2 weeks ago. They looked at it. We've had budget workshops. We include the public into it. I step back now. I let council and the Citizens Budget Advisory Committee, you know, mold what they need to do. And this year I'm happy to say, as it stands right now, hopefully it'll go up for adoption. It'll be just under 1%, which is lower than the governor's 2% cap. There'll be no need for a referendum. There'll be no need to expand anything past that with the exclusions and the exemptions that you know of, which is pension and health care. So everything came in line this year for us.
What's the total figure on your estimated budget?
Total figure?
Yeah.
On
the full budget.
I don't have the number. I think the full budget is 38 million something. Okay. I apologize. I didn't take paperwork with me.
That's all right.
And you know, the numbers that I have
figures here.
The numbers that I have in my head.
I'm not asking for down to the third decimal.
I'm going to say rounded numbers is probably 38.5.
All right. So that represents how much more than last year? 1% is
1%.
Okay, so we're talking 1% more than last year. What can somebody expect in their property tax bill?
Right, let's just say you have a house that's assessed at $330,000. And with the 1%, your municipal portion of that would be $29 increase for all of next year. If your home is valued, say, at $450,000, you're looking at an annual increase for the municipal portion of the budget of $40 for the fiscal year. Now, what people fail to realize is out of that, we're going to use pennies now. Out of all the pennies given out of the dollar, the township operates on 21 cents. That's all that comes out of that. So the municipal portion of these taxes that I just represented to you, that goes to the municipality. Everything else will go to school, library, county, fire, open space. And that would make up the remaining 79 cents or 79% of that dollar. So we'd like to use penny numbers. It's 21 cents would go to the town, 57 cents would go to school, 20 cents would go to county, 4 cents naturally to fire districts. That's all of them combined. You know, we just use that number aggregate, and you put 1% in open space.
Let me read you something that I found online. This is from JacksonNJOnline.com. This was posted in 2009, just before the election. It said, from July 1st to 2006, until Jackson Mayor Michael Reyna took office, this town suffered from instability and recrimination. In his few months in office, Mayor Reyna has restored open government, volunteerism, and effective leadership. More importantly, during these poor economic times, he has balanced our budget with just a small increase. He did this while keeping our payment to the state pension fund up to date instead of delaying it and incurring an 8.5% surcharge. And you stuck to that.
I am a proponent on public safety, and public safety means providing services, critical services. What I've learned to do in the office is separate wants and needs. We all want things. But what do we truly need to survive? So we need public safety. Public safety is not only police, it's fire, it's first aid, it's public works. It's an administration that's able to handle the calls. Public safety is a building department. Public safety is everything you can possibly imagine. The municipality, and I try to explain this at Meet the Mayor nights, they go 365. It's 24/7. We never stop, and we're running on 21 cents on that dollar. So the ship is running tight. Actually, it costs less now. Our budget is $3 million less than it was 3.5 years ago. And we're still being able to successfully negotiate and sign the contracts. We just ratified the contracts with the SOA, the PBA, TWU. We'll be closing shortly with AFSCME and telecommunicators.